We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela E, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest back in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Bubba Tusi, welcome back.
What's going on?
You got the new EP, Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about that title, man.
I don't know. I feel like as men, our whole life, we taught to be tough and not have emotions, you know.
Which is some bullshit, by the way.
It is some bullshit. It definitely is. I just had my son, though. So I feel like, you know, me having my son kind of opened my eyes to that. Like, you know, I want him to feel like he could be his own person.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the biggest thing. That's where the title came from.
Where'd you get that mentality from? Because most dads, I'm sure at your dad's age, you raise your kid, fall down, get back up. Don't you cry. You hold them tears. Don't you cry. So what made that, what gave that change to you as a father?
I was raised by women. You know what I mean? Even raised by women, I was always raised to be tough. With him, I want him to be his own person. You know what I mean? I don't want him to fall into the same light or the same statistic that everybody else fell into. So, you know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. I don't know.
I'm going to give you a book before you leave here. It's by Jason Wilson, Cry Like a Man. Just remind me to give it to you.
Yo, somebody else just told me that yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Powerful book. Yeah, I feel like all you're doing is raising a generation of sociopaths when you tell a bunch of men, don't feel.
Yeah, they said the book about basically emotional incarceration.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to check it out.
I got it for you. I got copies up here somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I need it.
How were you able to open up then, like, to even be in a relationship?
Honestly, like, when it came to that, I don't know. I just did it. It was, you can't run away from love. You heard? That's something that's going to follow you no matter where you go. You heard? So I don't know.
You think you were love quick, like at first sight type of thing?
Yeah. Since ninth grade. Most
definitely. So you just fall in love with everything. Everything beautiful, you fall in love with.
Nah. But I had my one person, though. You know what I mean? Since ninth grade that I...
Oh, that's dope. Okay.
Since ninth grade, like, I knew that was who I wanted to be with. You know mean, so it was kind of like that.
You still feel like
that's a rare thing to happen for that. Envy, you would say that happened with you.
Yeah, my wife was 15, I was 16.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We've been together 27 years, married 21.
Same thing. I've been with my wife for 24 years.
Yeah.
Not married as long, but married since 2014.
They figured it out. Y'all figured it out.
Man, I hope I get there.
You said, how do you get there?
I said, I hope I do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going through it now, and listen, it's going to be ups and it's going to be downs, and you're going to make mistakes, and she might
make
mistakes.
Yeah, how y'all do it? How y'all do it? What?
Now, that's a complicated question.
I'm going to give you another book.
Complicated question.
Now, I won't lie, though. That's always a question I got from couples that been together that long, though. I always want to know what it was that kept them together. And usually you get the same answers, like patience. And things of that nature. So
yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I think for myself, it's also, you know, when we first started going out, there was nothing there. It was just love. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about relationship. It wasn't about going out. So you develop a love that's outside of anything else. Like she's, you know, when they call ride or die, she's really that person. She's really, when I have a problem, she's my best friend. I can talk to her. We can have those uncomfortable discussions and problems and situations. But
that,
also it's,
that was before the money.
That was before the money. Way before
that's
the money.
Fire.
That's fire. I think what Envy said is probably the most important thing. You got to be really friends with a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think sometimes men, we be more loyal to our homies than we do our women.
That's crazy.
There's things we won't do to our guys that we'll do to the person we go to sleep with.
That's right.
Every night.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I don't lie. I can't do it, because at the end of the day, it's like, you know what I mean. I date Mary, you know. So if this the person that I'm looking to marry, it's like, I can't sit and be like, all right, I'm gonna be more loyal to my homeboys than I am the girl that's gonna be, you know, the girl that's gonna be my wife. You know what I mean? The Bible said it. Your wife come before anything.
But you gotta define your own words too. Like, you gotta know what your definition of love is.
Most definitely.
You know what I mean? Because I thought I loved my wife back then, but if I loved her the way I thought I did, I wouldn't have did some of the stuff that I did. You know what I mean? So once you learn the definition of it, it's
listen, man.
Talk to her.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm like, yo, listen. I don't lie. It's like, The world won't understand some of that stuff, though. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, you look at it as you overcoming, you know, something that y'all went through. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the rest of the world might look at it like, nigga, you did that. You did it wrong. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's
I mean, you could be both. Two things can be true.
Absolutely. Yeah, two things definitely could be true.
Yeah, two things can be true.
Most definitely. Two things definitely could be true. It's a little bit different when you're in this light, though. When you're an artist.
Because you trying out your superpowers. You've never been this version of Tusi.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Angela was just talking about girls doing dick sucking contests and asking men if they can be judges.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a movie. That's
crazy. I'm just saying. That's crazy. That didn't happen before you was
Tusi. I ain't experienced none of that. I don't know about none of that before.
So, as men, do you think that y'all have to go through something in order for you to realize what you have?
Yes, sadly.
To go through thinking you can lose it.
That's a trick question.
I don't think it's a trick question.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I feel like you can know what you got before fucking up. I don't feel like you got to fuck up to know what you got. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I also don't think cheating got anything to do with the woman. Cheating has to do with what we lack in ourselves as men. It's our ego. We trying to feed our ego. It's our insecurities. I don't think it has nothing
you know,
to do with
so
our
crazy.
Women.
It's crazy that you said that, because like, I always told myself like, I never needed more than one woman to stroke my ego. Mm. Like I never needed that. You know what I mean? If I had one female that could stroke my ego and just make me happy, I'd be cool with that. Like, but I don't know though. Some shit, you get some niggas that need polygamy. You know what I mean? So
I think they just think they want that. And you know, I remember when I caught my dad cheating back in the day, my dad said to me, oh, you only got one girlfriend? One day you gonna understand. So when he planted that seed in my head, thinking like, damn, so I gotta have more than one girlfriend.
I gotta do the shit he did. Nah. I don't think like that.
What does it mean when you say to treat a woman like a lady but F her like a hoe? What does that mean? Like, how do you do that to somebody like a
man? You get in the bedroom, you know. girls want to be slutted out, man. You know what I mean? You get in the bedroom with a girl, she don't want to be treated like she a girl. She want to be fucked like you gonna fuck one of them hoes.
Word. And how's that? Like, what's the difference?
Nah, that's man, a trick question. Fuck me like you fuck one of them hoes. What hoes?
Nah, well, I don't know anything about that.
Nah,
I never
nah that's
that.
A trick question. Though. I won't lie. That's a trick question. Your girl ever say something like that? Don't answer that question. Don't even do nothing. But like, I won't lie though. It's like I don't know. Like, it's like. It's like treating a girl with respect outside of the bedroom, mm-hmm. but in the bedroom, she you know, that's
you get disrespectful
the bedroom. The only time you can disrespect a girl. I won't lie.
It's just like sexually. When women say you got to be a lady in the streets, a freak in the sheets.
A freak
it's
in the sheets. It's
thing.
The same thing. That's all in the bedroom. That's the only time a woman want to be disrespected. She want her hair pushed. She want to be slapped. She want all that type of shit. You know what I mean, that's what it means. I mean,
okay, so you'd be pulling hair, slapping, doing all that.
Man, we do everything, man. Come on, man.
Can she do it back to you?
No, hell no. Nah, what the fuck?
Nah, see, now that's not fair, too.
Hell no. Nah, that's
whatever you do to your woman,
hell.
You got to be willing
no,
to accept yourself.
No, that's not
man.
True. Hell no, nah, that's not
Who's
true.
Who's pulling your hair, Charlamagne?
Who's pulling his
exactly.
hair?
But you know what I mean?
Who's pulling his hair? Right?
ain't
nobody put. Nah, hell no. Nah. No hair pulling, no slapping, no choking. I don't do none of that.
You don't want to get choked?
I don't want to get choked.
Damn.
Hell what about nah. blindfolded?
Blindfolded? Hell nah. Why you blindfolding me? Hold on.
So you could use your other senses.
Senses? Man, nah.
What's that
hell
smell?
Nah. I'm not sorry.
That's not what you want to do right. in the bedroom.
Nah, boy, I'm not trying to tap into no other senses in the bedroom. I'm good. I ain't Spider-Man.
Now talk about this song, Hard Eggs. He said, I'm not yeah. Spider-Man.
I'm not Spider-Man.
You are trying to shoot something. Never mind. Listen, in the song Hard Eggs, you said you've done taking my heart, put it in a bitter place,
yeah.
let another break my heart they wish they could. What inspired that?
Like going through shit, going through hardships in relationships, you know, being in relationships and getting put through things that you know, never been through before. You know, and sometimes you bump into people and, you know, they begin to grow a sour taste in your mouth. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, I got an ex I used to be with. I only been with two girls.
Mm-hmm. The one who left you for dead?
Yeah, her. Oh, God, man, I hate her. I don't lie.
Damn.
I don't lie with shit. We was like,
what did she do to you?
Bro, she broke my motherfucking heart. She cheated on me. I was like 16, though. That shit hurt, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get cheated on, niggas get cheated on in high school and it's over. I don't lie, you fuck a nigga up for life with that shit.
That is true.
Yeah, you cheat on me in high school.
Y'all want to bond? Y'all want to bond right now? You want to tell him, Charlamagne?
What?
Never mind, go ahead.
Nah, tell me. Hell nah.
No, he had a bad story about getting cheated
no,
on.
Oh, nah, yeah, but I've been with my woman for 24 years, so that's what I mean when I say, you know, whatever you expect of... Whatever
she
expects
y'all
of
bond?
You, whatever she expects of you, you gotta be willing to give her.
What?
So if she forgives you, if she does something, you gotta forgive her.
Nah,
too.
I won't lie. I forgave a few times though. I won't lie. That shit.
It was more than once.
What?
Oh, that nigga was good then.
I won't lie. I was a sucker for real.
One dude that she kept messing with.
Man, I won't lie. I don't even think it was one dude. I can't remember.
Man.
I was a youngin. Like.
So you didn't cheat. But she only cheated.
Hell nah, right. She fucked me up.
Damn.
Yeah, she fucked me up, man.
You kept catching and you kept staying.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You
I won't
probably
lie,
got trust
bro.
Issues because of that situation.
Crazy part though, I don't even got trust issues.
Because
I feel like, I don't know, I just don't got trust issues.
I bet she wish she wouldn't now though. Did she ever
man,
try
what?
To hit
she
you
be
up?
Trying. She be trying to throw little quick little shots and hints and all type of shit like that. She said something on the internet the other day. Shit blew my mind.
What'd she say?
I forgot what she said. She said something about, oh nah, you know what it was? I had gave my girlfriend 30K for her birthday. And like, I guess like the internet ain't like her reaction, but she not really no like over, mm-hmm.
Overreactor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she not no overreactor. Like, so I gave her the 30K and shorty go on the internet. She like, she should have been me. If I would've got the 30K, I would've, such and such.
Damn.
Saying, man, what
okay,
the fuck?
That's out of order.
Guess what? It'll never be you. You know?
Why are you following her though? How you know?
Nah, she posted it on Facebook and it was public and people started tagging me.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
She wanted you to see that though.
Yeah, clearly. She wanted me to see that shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she wanted your girl to see that and then she was hoping it'll cause problems at home. Yep.
Ain't no problems at home.
That's but that's why
that's what they want, man. Yeah, they want problems at home. Ain't no trouble in paradise, man. Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw you kind of like
I don't lie, we be going through shit.
Of course, all couples do. I let you get that lie off.
Yeah, word. Yeah, we be going through shit.
But I saw you saying that you know you really don't care for the fame aspect of it, right? Yeah. So when you say that, but why show people stuff like that? Why show them you giving your girl $30,000?
I won't lie though, it was like that. So all of that was before, like I had made that post. I don't know, the fame become a lot, especially at 22. And then on top of that, you know, you sign to these labels and shit like that. Ain't no media training. Ain't no motherfucking like, you know, they don't teach you how to talk and. When you get in interviews, what to say, what not to say. Mm-hmm. They don't do none of this shit. You heard? So you coming into this shit, and they not supposed to because that's kind of like taken away from who you are as a person and as an artist. So
nah,
like,
they should.
Yeah, they should.
And the reason is there's things that could get you in trouble, things that you should
most definitely
say, things that you could get you canceled now. So
yeah, right.
If they could guide you, I mean, we're a platform. If you say something that's going to get you canceled, that's going to get you in trouble, locked up, we're going to tell you.
Nah, I think it might work here. I don't think it works with social media because when you at home, and you got a feeling in your phone right there.
And you typing, it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you on social media and you type and you sit and type some shit, like, oh nah, the world and the world don't fuck with it, they're gonna bash you. But like, absolutely. Yeah, like I don't know. So like I guess like it was kinda like one of the moments where it's like, damn, like, if I was famous, this never would have been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know I mean, and people flipped it and made it seem as if like it was a thing of me blaming the fans for whatever happened, but like honestly it wasn't even that. It was just a matter of like me stating like, yo, if I was never famous, because my music used to be like important to me, like it used to be just for me. Mm-hmm. I used to, which it still is important, but it used to be just a thing for me. It used to be sacred to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I don't know, I started dropping the music and you know, I'm more so doing things for the fans now. So I don't know, it was more so of like, you know, if I never was famous, this never would have been a problem.
That's a great conversation, right? Because does that impact your creative process? Because you're thinking about what the internet's going to think or what people are going to think instead of just going to make the music you want to make?
Honestly, I feel like me and my fans got such a good connection that when I go in there and I record, it's not really like, It's almost like I'm recording for myself because mm-hmm. we got the same thought process. To be a fan of me, you like the things that I like. So I don't know. We kind of got the same thought process, and it'll be times where I get on Instagram Live and make songs with the fans and let them like have an input on the songs and what we gonna title the song and what we gonna talk about in the song, like things of that nature. So it's kind of hard to miss when you're doing that.
Dope.
Yeah.
So do you think that people feel like, because a lot of times with your music, because it is, like you said, very personal and sacred to you. People really feel like they know you and they feel like they know exactly what you're talking about. You might have a song that you did 2 years ago and you put it out now and they feel like it's something that's happening to you now.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, yeah. That's the hard part about everything. You know, they feel like every song that you make is a subject of what's going on today, mm-hmm. today's world. When in reality, this shit could have happened 30 years ago.
With Boys Don't Cry, with this EP, for these songs, are these all current songs? Like, is this something that we should take as this is something that's happening to you now?
Yeah, for the most part. And if it ain't my story, it's somebody else's story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I tend to do that a lot, too. Like, I might make a song about, you know, some real life situations that's going on right now, but it might not be something that's happening to me. It might be my homeboy that's going through it, and I just so happen to see it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it could be that too.
Now you're also going on tour with Rod Wave,
and
with Mariah the Scientist.
Yeah.
So how did that tour come together?
Man, honestly, we got the same booking agent. So being that we got the same booking agent, shout out to Mac Agency. We got the same booking agent. It came time for him to go on tour, and my name just got through in that bucket of, you know, people who he wanted to bring on tour. So, you know, they made it happen, and now we going on tour. This probably gonna be the fucking saddest tour. I like I see the comments, cause I see the comments and shit. They like, yo, I'm gonna be in crying and oh my god.
People want to cry. You think?
Yeah, I think so. Like I think people enjoy being sad nowadays. I don't know why.
I think people enjoy processing their emotions because for so long we haven't been allowed to, especially men. That's what I think.
Nah, I dead ass like sat. Like when I started seeing the tweets, I sat and I'm like, damn, let me dive into the music, like, and really see what the hell going on. I started listening to the fucking Mariah, the Scientist, Spread Thin and shit like that. And then you go to Rod Wave catalog and he got everything he got. Then I start diving back into my own shit. I say, damn.
I mean, with songs said, like Heartache, Last Song.
Love Is, Last Song. Yeah, shit like that, man. I don't lie. I say, damn, this shit finna be sad. Like somebody got to come out this bitch and turn this shit up a little bit or something, man.
But in a way, you know what you're doing, though, because you put out Last Song, then you're like, I'm taking a break from social media. Come on now.
You always know what you're doing. Yeah, man.
I feel like you didn't really take a break from social media.
Hell nah, I ain't taking no break.
I know. What?
Man, like... listen. Hell nah. I won't lie. One thing about it, though, man, I swear I done gave up on everything in life. Like, on sports, school, relationships, like, just, I won't lie, like, my whole, I wouldn't say I've been a quitter, but, like, I've been a quitter. You get what I'm saying? Music, something that I could never quit. I could never give up.
You think you was a quitter or just a runner?
I was a runner. Yeah. I definitely ran when times got hard. So I definitely say I was a runner. But that's something, you know, acknowledging it be the first step. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I kind of been working on it, trying not to run away from my situations as much. And, like, even, when I first got into, you know, situations and shit like that, my first thought would always be to, all right, I'm out. Like, if we not finna do this, like, you wanna leave, you can leave. Cause I'm leave. Like, mm-hmm. What we doing? But like, acknowledging that shit be the first step. And it's like, damn, like, what you gonna run away from everything you go through?
And more importantly, and you learn this in therapy, you can't run away from yourself.
Nah, you can't.
So you got to do whatever internal issues you got to deal with them, because you cannot run away from yourself.
You got to deal with it. You go to therapy?
Yeah, once a week. Hell yeah, for about 5-6 years now.
You don't?
I used to have a therapist. Like, you know, when your peoples get a divorce and shit like that, they make you go to counseling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I used to have a therapist for that, and then I stopped seeing him. You know what I mean? I don't lie. That might be another reason a nigga make all this sad ass music. You heard?
Therapy just gonna make you mix out of music.
I've been traumatized. Word up. My whole life. Tell you that therapy, my whole life been nothing but shit, just going through shit. You heard? So, it's, yeah.
Unpack it now. Don't wait till I waited till I was like 35, 36 years old. Yeah. Like, do it now. So you got less years to unpack. Imagine trying to unpack 25 years of trauma.
Yeah, nah, I don't lie, shit. Yeah, that's a lot. 25 years of trauma, a lot, shit. I'm fighting motherfucking 18 years of trauma. Mm-hmm. So,
when you did take a break from music, because you said that's something that you would never run from.
Yeah.
Were you still recording?
I don't lie though. Crazy, I ain't never take no break.
Well, as far as putting out like a whole project.
Oh yeah, I done took longer breaks than that. Yeah. Like I ain't put out no project, but I done took a longer break than what I took this year. Like, cause I was still dropping singles. Mm-hmm. I done went 8 months without dropping nothing. Like,
so what did you do? Were you still working during that time though? The
old man over there had me fucking. he had me in the studio recording. We were just recording a bunch of music. I ain't have a catalog. That was the problem.
Okay.
I ain't have no music in the stash. And some of my greatest records came out of that. So, like, I definitely appreciate that. But, yeah, I was just recording.
You talk about the trauma. So your new therapy, I guess, or your therapy is doing all these records then?
Yeah, nah, most
definitely. I guess that was the best thing, putting you in the studio.
Yeah, putting me in the studio was like, yo, music was like the best thing that ever happened to me. You get what I'm saying? Like, it changed my life. And then on top of it changing my life, it opened my eyes to know who I truly am and what I'm here for, you know? Like my whole life been a plot twist. Like, ain't nobody ever expect for me to become who I am today, and people don't expect for me to become what I'm gonna become. Like, I genuinely could look somebody in their eyes and tell them, like, this not the end for me. Like, it's something way bigger than what people seeing right now. It's just hard for me to speak on it because every artist will get up here and say that they gonna be something bigger than what they is today, and some is, but some not. You know what I mean? Some not gonna make it farther than this interview. Mm-hmm. But when it come to me, like, I'm here to stay. Like, my name is something that's gonna stay afloat no matter what. It's nothing nobody ever could do to change that.
Well, you know, when God calls you, it's not a conference call, so it ain't for everybody anyway.
Man, listen, it ain't no conference call at all. I'm telling you, everybody, this ain't no Zoom link. I mean, you can't log into this one.
And I feel like the good thing for you is things have been also getting bigger every single time. And the momentum is building. Instead of you coming out with a crazy momentum and then going away, it's still getting higher.
I'm gonna tell you what's so crazy though. Like, where you and this is for like all the artists that's out there right now, don't fall too deep into the politics. Like, when you start to fall too deep into the politics and the numbers and you stop having fun with it and it start to feel like a job and shit like that, it start to feel crazy. I tell the people that's around me all the time, like, we got to get back to having fun with it, because it definitely was a time where I started to put on my, you know, CEO suit, I guess you would say, in a sense, and started digging too deep into things that really don't matter for me. It mattered for me, but I ain't supposed to be handling it. Mm-hmm. So I started paying attention to the numbers. Like, I never used to pay attention to numbers at all. If the song did good, it just did good. Because at the end of the day, the numbers be what the numbers be, but it's always somebody out there that's going to relate to your shit more than the next person. Mm-hmm. And that's what keep an artist going for real, for real. It's not about the fucking first week numbers and all that other bullshit that people try to make this shit seem like it's about. It's not about these deals that's getting signed. Because all that shit be cool, but at the end of the day, like, when you having fun with the music, all that shit going to come. You get what I'm saying? So I won't lie, like, to the artists that's out there, man, don't fall too deep into the numbers. Don't fall into first week numbers, second week numbers, billboards, and all type of dumb shit like that. Because half of the motherfuckers that's on billboards ain't never think they probably was ever going to get no billboard. You get what I'm saying? Like, that should be some sporadic shit. Like, that shit, yo, like we was talking about, like, women on top of the game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You ask some of the girls that's on top of the charts right now if they thought it was going to happen as quick as that shit happened for them. Nobody ever saw music taking a turn that it's taking right now.
Right.
When did we ever see
artists? Spice, Glorilla.
When did
Cardi, Megan.
Yeah, Cardi, Megan.
Yeah, I mean, the internet, because you get to see things happen so quickly.
You know what I mean? Like, so you got that, and then on top of that, then you got artists like, you know, the bigger artists doing 17,000 first week, 23,000, 22,000 first week in sales and shit like that. Like, nobody never saw music doing none of this. Like, we looking at numbers like, damn, these niggas doing 200K, 300K, 150,000. Now niggas is doing not even doing a quarter of that.
Right.
What do you think of the baby saying his comments? Him and Tory Lanez kind of saying they're blackballed from.
Honestly. I seen Russ have a take on it. He basically said, like, you know, it's no such thing as being blackballed if you able to put out your music. And so I wish I could speak on it. I only, like, when it come to them shoes, I can't even say how to feel, because I probably, if I was in their shoes, I probably feel blackballed too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. I feel like any artist who got like a input on that, you know, that's all it is an input. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, like, you won't know until you in them shoes.
Yeah.
But yeah, though, I feel like with the Tory situation, I feel like he definitely getting blackballed.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see the baby too. I can definitely see the baby too.
With baby, I don't feel like it's really a blackball. I feel like it's the world just...
It's the backlash to what he
it's
said.
It's the backlash. Yeah, yeah, you get what I'm saying?
Well, like, with the playlist,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see him on playlist.
Yeah, like...
You know, playlist or, you know,
And that's the crazy part. See, that's something I really don't know about, because I never really made playlists. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not an artist.
We don't have
a playlist for the type of music that I make.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
But, like, I think on the streaming services, they'll put you on playlists. So when people randomly listen... And so I think that's what they're saying, right? But then Russ was saying, well, your fans will find you, whether or not you're on a playlist.
Yeah, and your fans will find you, but your fans, you'll have fans, and then you'll have fans. And the fans are falling to the category of them thinking just like the people who not fans. Because that's all that it be. The motherfuckers who talk shit about you on the internet be haters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the haters hypnotize the fans, because it's fans and then it's fans. The haters hypnotize the fans into thinking that it's your fans who actually fans that's talking shit about you. When in reality, it's nothing but a hater being a hater.
And you know what else? And you know what I'm going to say too about those playlists? Sometimes I discover music that I wouldn't have discovered by listening to it.
Yo, it's so crazy. I don't make playlists.
Me neither.
I don't.
If somebody tells me Tusi, I'm going to go search Tusi. I've never been on Rap Caviar.
I've never been like none of them shits.
Same.
Wow. But it might be like a hip hop and R&B playlist that songs randomly come up.
Yeah. I've never been on like the R&B. What's the name of that major R&B? Like the Raven. R&B, it's
a lot of
R&B.
People tell me that.
None of that.
Kids tell me that they don't discover music via playlist.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nah.
Because I know in the Juice Bar we put on a random playlist of like hip hop and R&B, and songs will come up, and I'll be like, oh, what's that song?
I mean, my music though, like not even just going to look that shit up. My music has never been on any of them playlists, so I never like really knew. I never knew that the playlisting actually affected that shit that much. Like, if playlisting affected niggas' numbers like that,
because it gets changed, that shit, even if you're not looking for it.
I won't lie, that's a different type of power.
But you think about not even a person. When you go to the gym, there's always a playlist on.
Mm-hmm. Back.
If you're in a cab, a lot of time there's playlists on.
Word.
So those songs just keep going.
They over rolling. And over and over they again. Rolling.
And like an artist like DaBaby, like you were saying earlier, the thing with DaBaby. There's always two types of fans, right? A fan that's gonna ride or die regardless, and then there's a fan that wants a hit. Depending on what type of record you
have. It's a fan that's fans because they see other fans.
Mm-hmm. Fickle fans, right? So with DaBaby, if he doesn't have a hit because the playlists are not playing him,
DJs
are not spinning his records, radio stations are not spinning his records, he doesn't have that fan that's looking
most
for
definitely.
That hit.
Most definitely.
And because of that, that's kind of being blackballed because they're not giving his records an opportunity.
Yeah. Also, too, you do realize, crazy. And I saw this stat the other day, I'm reading it because I put it in my phone. Mm-hmm. There's a stat that 1% of all artists generate 90% of the streams. 1% of all artists generate 90% of the streams. So if you're not in that 1%, are you really being impacted that much by streams?
Well, DaBaby was probably in that 1% with all them records.
Yeah, he was.
Probably at one point.
Damn. So you saying 1%.
They say 1% of all artists generate 90% of all streams.
Shit, I already know who generating all
them. It's the Drakes, it's the Adeles.
Yeah.
It's Beyonce.
I don't even know if it's the Lil Baby yet.
Lil Baby's definitely on
there. No, not really. When you look at the top 10.
NBA, YoungBoy.
No, YoungBoy's YouTube. So YoungBoy don't be, YoungBoy's YouTube.
Yeah, he on top of YouTube. Mm-hmm. I don't lie, but he got a different type of fan base.
He does.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, YoungBoy got a different type of, like,
I love the memes where they be like, NBA YoungBoy fans be like.
Yo, I don't lie, it'll never hear them shits.
They support him and ride
what?
Him regardless.
No matter what he do.
I don't lie, crazy part. It'll probably never be another NBA young boy. Like, right. No matter. One thing about it, bro, I live in reality, bro. You get what I'm saying? Like, that shit ain't no joke. Like,
so when they come to you and be like, we need you to do a young boy doing on YouTube, right? You be like, that's young
I can't. Boy. It's over, bro. That's a young boy. It'll never be another NBA young boy. It'll never, like, yo, bro, some things could be mimicked. That shit there, you can't mimic that. That's,
yeah. He didn't even try to strategize that. It just... was organic.
That's just him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, when you get something like that, that's special.
Mm-hmm. Are you from upstate?
Yeah.
Are you investing in upstate a lot? Because upstate is a growing market when it comes to real estate.
Crazy part, nah. I haven't even dove into none of that yet. You know what I mean? But
yeah, look into it because it's the rent prices upstate are shooting through the roof.
Yeah.
Property prices are great. And there's so many schools and colleges around there that people need a place to stay.
Definitely.
You should look into it. You can buy some property for not too... bad up there.
Yeah, we've been sitting and talking about that. That's something that's on our bucket list.
Now, what about putting? I know we had this discussion, but social media, putting like your private life on there, putting your girlfriend on there. Are you gonna move differently now? Because
I'm gonna keep it private. I mean, like, it's just as simple as that. Like, keep it off the internet. Because at the end, I mean, it might be a time where or a day where, you know, I might throw the fam up there one time, but. I don't know, bro. I'm chilling right now. I'm strictly focused on the music and getting this where it need to be.
Are you happy?
Yeah. Well, which part?
Just in life. I mean, are you putting out songs like Heartache and Lonely? You know what I mean? I'm like,
I won't lie though. That's a hard question to answer. You know, like,
because every day is different.
Yeah, every day different. I don't walk around with my head down, but I definitely sometimes I wish I was in a better position than what I'm in. I feel like it's different things that I could have did, and I never try to put the blame on nobody else, you know, because every decision that I made is decision that I made. Life is about options, so I mean, at the end of the day, I can't if I walk around with my head down, I'd be walking around with my head down because of some shit that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I don't know. Life cool, but
do you beat yourself up for mistakes you made?
Hell nah.
That's good.
I don't do that at all. But I definitely say, like, sometimes I sit and be like, damn, like, I wonder how shit would have went if I would have never did this or I would have never took this step. So,
but they all, everything that you did got you to this point.
Nah, most
everything
definitely.
Like, even the, that's why I don't believe in good or bad. I believe everything's just part of one long process.
Nah, most
and
definitely.
It gets you to where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, nah, it's a process. Like, you know, I mean, my brother always told me to trust the process. So, you know, that's all I'm doing. I'm just trusting the process and putting in the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got to put in the work.
All right, well, the album comes out this Friday.
Boys don't cry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want to be sad, if you want to be sad and get a good cry, get 2CZP, Boys Don't
Sometimes
Cry.
Sometimes you need that, though. As we go through things in life, you're like, I need to listen to
something. I don't know about I need to be sad.
Sometimes you do.
Shit, this interview done made me sad. Yeah.
Nah, for what, man? For what? Only because it's raining outside.
It's raining outside.
It's cold and shit. He done, man, we in here talking about life and shit. He done got sad. That shit ain't
I do think
man.
Some of the best albums, though, I like those breakup albums. You know?
Yeah, nah.
Like with Mary J. Blige, we love, you know, we used to love, unfortunately, she went through a lot.
The sad shit.
Or like she just called you 2CJ Blige, bro.
She definitely did.
I don't lie, that's crazy. 2CJ Blige is crazy. I don't lie. 2CJ Blige is crazy.
Winehouse.
I can never be there, man.
Mary you wake J. up in the morning and see that it was raining and just, like, stare.
Nah, hell nah. Hell nah.
Why are you making fun of what fucking, he's gone through?
Yo, this is what I'm saying, man. You know, as men, they just don't, they expect
exactly
us to be so
point.
Tough.
No, I ain't crazy.
Nigga asked me, did I look out the window? Damn. Hell nah. I got up. I don't lie, it was hard for me to get out of bed. I got up.
Why, you were tired?
I was tired as hell.
Okay.
I don't lie, why is this interview at 8 in the morning, bro?
It's the Breakfast Club, Tucci.
First of all,
y'all don't do no fucking interviews after breakfast? Damn.
Hell no.
Y'all need to switch to the Lunch Club or some shit. Like,
you about to be.
I am.
You about to be.
Yeah.
Well, January.
Well, man, listen, this, I don't lie. They say 8:30. I say, y'all sure that at 8:30 a.m.? Yeah.
Welcome to the life of an artist, Tucci. And I'm sure you got more after this.
I'm here, man. You know what I mean? Hell yeah, I do. Yeah, I got like three more interviews.
See?
And then I got a listening party. Too much.
And then you got to talk about Boys Don't Cry.
Is Kleenex sponsoring the listening party?
See, why are you doing this to him?
You know what?
Tucci.
He tried to open
Thank
up.
You, brother. We appreciate
Most
it.
Deaf. Most deaf. Open, man. Yeah, man. He don't care about my feelings.
I do. I got the book right here for you. Cry Where's like that? A man. It's right
why?
Here.
Oh, you found it?
Yep, I was looking at it. And you know what? I got two for you,
man. Yo, bro, pull up your pants, man.
While my ass was out?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Damn. That's that old man shit, man.
This guy's crazy. Look like a Ken Plummer.
Cry Like a Man. Oh, matter of fact,
Jason, I don't think Charlamagne got
this is Battle right. Cry by Jason Wilson.
What's this about?
It's both about processing your emotions as a man. This is the unapologetic guy to black
mental
health.
Oh, this is a black
man. Yeah.
Oh, they both
and
about
And this is a black woman.
Damn, he's steady about crying, though. Jason Wilson.
Salute to Jason. No, Jason.
Shout out to Jason Wilson.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.